In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This last week, we all were hearing about our leaders, or the more historical term, ruler. In our gospel text, we meet one of the rulers of Jesus' day. But unlike our culture this last week, Jesus takes center stage over and above the rulers and authorities. And rightly so. As he walked this earth, people saw him with his eyes, healing, casting out demons, teaching with authority. Crowds gather, pressing in on all sides, all trying to get close to him. And here walks into the crowd this ruler. But even though the crowd assumingly allows this ruler to come to Jesus without trouble, seems like he had a pretty good reputation, especially considering the parallel text, we learned that he's a ruler of the local synagogue. Mark even gives him the name of Jairus. They allow him to come through without any trouble. He doesn't come to Jesus, though, according to his authority as a ruler. No, he's coming as a father. This man is humbled, where sickness and death has overcome him, and no amount of status in the community has been able to keep his daughter from coming to this point of death, even, yes, dying. So he doesn't care about his reputation, his poll numbers, his standing as one of the rulers of the synagogue. No, he's desperate for salvation. He knows that he's subject to the effects of this sinful world just like everyone else, that all have sinned, including the rulers and authorities. He also has no problem bowing, falling on his knees in honor and reverence and humility to he who's shown to have such authority over sin and its effects, one who would then even be in authority over him. This is a great example of faith. He falls at Jesus' feet. "My daughter has just died," he says. Yet he still has hope. "Come, lay your hand on her and she will live. Have mercy, Lord." And Jesus goes with him just like that. Jesus doesn't ask for details or qualifications. He hears his cry and walks with him, where we see the steadfast love of the Lord never ceasing. Mercy's never coming to an end. Jesus goes with him. And by just even that action, beginning to walk with him, he gives this promise implicit that he will be with him and his family, that he will help. But on the way, as the crowds are following him, pressing in on him, something happens that the ruler doesn't expect. Jesus, of course, expects it. He's known about these two encounters with these two children of the kingdom, even from eternity. He's known about this event and how it would play out. And he cares for this lowly peasant woman just as much as the exalted synagogue ruler. He's cared for her even during the 12-year tribulation that she's gone through. Year one, he's been there. Year two, year three, is it ever going to dry up and get better? Yet God, Jesus, has been with her. He's had compassion on her to even sustain her and her faith up to that point. To the point where she says in great faith, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." So it's worth asking ourselves, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ, what would have caused her faith to grow and be sustained? In the midst of this affliction, it had to be hearing the word, the promises of old, what God has done, and what he will do. I would venture she would even be attending the same synagogue as this ruler, hearing and resting in the word. So that shows the greatness of her faith. 12 years of suffering, able to come to that moment and say, here is the Messiah. So Jesus stops for her, and the ruler, he doesn't bat an eye about Jesus stopping. This man knows Jesus. He knows that Jesus knows what he's doing. And he again humbly submits to his God and Lord. Indeed, I'd say if he's a good ruler, and every indication is that he is, he would have known this woman and her affliction, would have been glad to see the Messiah tend to her. So we've got this scene in our minds, Jesus, this ruler in the crowd, this woman that Jesus stops to talk to, and commending her faith, being healed even by the touching of Jesus' garment. And the ruler hears Jesus' words to the woman who just was healed. Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter is the same title that that ruler used of his now deceased 12-year-old girl. Daughter. The same woman that he would have even seen in the synagogue. Daughter. Showing all how much he truly cares for every single one, no matter the financial status, social status, authority status, he cares for all. She's not just a face in the crowd. You, dear saints, dear daughters and sons of the kingdom, are not just a face in the crowd. She's known and loved by the Lord. You are known and loved by that Lord of life. And no, he doesn't delay or get distracted from his will and his plan. He knew what his plan would be all along in healing the woman and raising the dead, the daughter. Jesus cares for every single one of us, giving each and every sheep a portion at the proper time. The salvation of the Lord. He knew ahead of time, and he knew that he would raise this 12-year-old girl. He knew that he would heal a woman with 12 years of being afflicted. I only can imagine their conversation in heaven together as the Lord tied them together in such a way. So Jesus walked with the ruler and showed him that as long as he is with Jesus, all will be okay. He shows the woman that being hopeful in the Messiah is not in vain, that the Lord does cause us to wait. But wait we shall, and we shall see the salvation of the Lord. Jesus truly was with her every single day in those 12 long years. He was even there in her suffering, even groaning together with her. And the same is for us. Even in our darkest hours of groaning, even when our prayers are unspoken and we need the Holy Spirit to even groan on our behalf, Jesus is with us. When everything that we hold dear, whenever it just slips away, Jesus is still with us. He goes out with us. He cares deeply, personally, for every single one of you. But I know it doesn't seem that way when we're going through that valley of the shadow of death, when you're in year 6 of this 12-year affliction. But looks are deceiving. Jesus keeps us on the lookout for him. As he makes promise after promise after promise and showing us examples of his deliverance over and over and over again, he is faithful. And even in our times of doubt, wondering at how and when he's going to deliver, he helps us, strengthens us through it. He even gives us delightful surprises to be able to turn back in thanks and praise even while waiting final, ultimate deliverance. So Jesus, he makes his way to the house of the ruler, the deceased daughter, and raises her from the dead, just like that, and opens their hearts and minds and our hearts and minds about how looks can be deceiving. The pits that we find ourselves in and we don't know how we're going to get out of it. It looks like there's no way we can get out of this time of suffering or this hardship financially, where we might as well even get out the flute and play the funeral songs. I'm as good as dead. My hopes may be as good as dead. It is then that Jesus breaks forth and says, "Let your doubts die. Go away, unbelief, for your rescue, your salvation, your healing, your reconciliations, your welfare, all of it is not dead. They're only sleeping. When your days and weeks and months of bearing the cross are completed, I will visit you. I will bring you back to peace. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And he's good on his word, no matter how it seems, no matter how many laugh at him and his seeming inability to help or unwillingness to help. It is only seeming. For at that right time comes forth the Lord of all to bring life from death, hope from despair. He comes with healing in his wings. So, dear saints, as we read these stories, as you are in your own devotions are reading these stories of Jesus walking along and healing and helping, it may feel like they're for them, but not for you. But no, Jesus has brought you from death to life as well. In your baptism, Jesus took you by the hand and raised you to new life. So that when you die in this age, it is not a death, but only a sleeping. For you have already died at that font. And indeed, on that last day, though the world would say that we are dead, no, the day will come when you will wake up. Just after a refreshing night's sleep, you wake up, stretching your arms out, ready to take on the day. So also on that last day, you will be raised, ready to take on eternal life. For he took away your sins and gave you his righteousness. He assumed death to give you life. And he adopts you into his family. In the family of the Heavenly Father, you, dear daughters, can claim that title of being his glorious, cherished possession. You, redeemed sons, are ones in whom the Father is pleased, not by your own works, but by virtue of his Son, his perfect Son, that he declares to you all of his righteousness. And so he'll never be done with you in this life. He's promised to raise you. He's promised to get you through your afflictions, and he's good on these promises. So do not fear, only believe. This life, though it's filled with all of its struggles, we wonder, does he see me in the crowd? Does he care? Yes, I am one just like that woman suffering from that 12-year affliction. He sees me. He knows me. He cares. He knows your needs. He knows even your fears, your doubts, your hurts. He knows how this fallen world impacts you. And he seeks to cut through that to help you. He invites you to even bring all of your doubts, all of your fears, all of the chaos around you right to his throne. Directly into his ear is the privilege of a son and daughter. Come to me, he says. Do not fear, only believe. For nothing can separate you from his love. He has taken away your sins and given you eternal life. He knows you by name. You are his. In the name of Jesus, amen.